to Falkirk Vineyard Church. I am Sandra.
And I'm Kenny, and we are really glad that you are here. One of the things that God asks us to do is belong to a community of faith that loves Him and loves each other. And Sunday mornings are one of the main times that we stop what we're doing to get together to worship and focus on Jesus. And that's what we're doing right here this morning.
And if you're visiting today, you are so welcome to join in. We want you to feel at home, even if you're not familiar with church. The main thing is we believe that God wants to connect with you in a real way. And if you're regular here, we are also really delighted to have you.
If you're watching on Catch Up, we missed you. Hopefully next week you can be here with us on Sunday morning. But today we're going to start by worshipping God in song. And when we do this, it opens our hearts and our minds to the reality of God's presence, that He is here with us and that He wants to meet with us.
And later we'll also have a few updates for you. And we're also really blessed to have a guest speaker today. Jay Pathick is the senior pastor of Mile High Vineyard in Denver, Colorado. And he's going to be speaking to us about the opportunities we have to experience and share the good news of the kingdom of God in these unique times.
We'll also have time at the end to pray and invite the Holy Spirit to do stuff in us. And we really want to encourage you to ask for prayer. Yeah. Don't be too quick to just kind of scoot off or disappear at the end of service. Take the opportunity to get prayed for before you go.
So the way it works is you click the live prayer button and a chat window will appear where a member of our prayer team will send you a message. You can then communicate back and forth and they will pray with you. And we've been really, really blessed to see people healed and saved as we've prayed with them in this way. And you don't even have to wait for the end of the service. You can just ask for prayer anytime.
If you are watching on YouTube, the live prayer button doesn't appear there. It's only available exclusively on the church online platform. However, if you are watching along with the service on YouTube, like on your TV, you can still follow along on the church online platform on your phone or on your tablet, and you can ask for prayer that way. And the link, if you're watching on YouTube, the link to the church online platform is in the description below the video.
Okay, so now it's time to focus on God. He is the one who deserves all of our attention and our affection. And let's just take a moment to invite the Holy Spirit to help us focus on Jesus and through Jesus to experience the love of our Heavenly Father.
Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come today. We're expectant of your presence, of your love, of your voice speaking to each of us. And we come, we lay down all the things of our week, all of our things that are rushing through our mind, all of our emotions, all of our life situations, God. We just bring them before you today. And we worship you. We acknowledge that you are King. You are the Lord. And that there is nothing that can separate us from your love. So as we sing in each of our homes or wherever we might be, would you make your presence known strongly to each of us?
Yes.
Remind us that we're not alone and that you are with us. And that just as we have gathered here today to meet with you, that your desire is to meet with us. And we ask this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Here's to the one who made the morning bright. Here's to the one who taught the stars to shine. Here's to the one who graced the dead of night, pulled me from the dark and set my heart alight. Oh, oh, oh. Here's to the one who made my heart to sing, open up my eyes and washed away my sin. here's to the one who gave his life for mine, broke all my chains and set me free, alright. To the way, oh, oh, to the truth, oh, oh, to the life I live in, the light you gave, Jesus, here's to your name over everything, oh, oh, here's to all the things that your love has done. Here's to the way you wiped away my past. Here's to the future and the things to come. Here's to my Savior's everlasting love. To the way, oh, oh, to the truth, oh, oh, to the life I live in, the light you give, Jesus, here's to your name. Kingdom, here's to the name of Jesus, to the way. strain, every burden, every chain, every hurdle. You are more than enough. You are more than enough. For every strain, every burden, every chain, every hurdle. You are more than enough. You are more than enough. For every strain, every burden,
generous God, and he has called us to be generous too. And one of the ways that we can do that is through honouring him with our finances. And if that is something that you are feeling called to do, then please go to
falkirkvineyard.com/give.
Yes, and you will have an opportunity to give financially there.
Yeah. Small groups are off this week. They are back on August the 6th. We are having a short holiday. If you have not been involved in a small group before, go to falkirkvineyard.com where you'll find out details of how to sign up for a group. For those of you that have been involved in groups, they are not changing, so everything will be the same as it was before. August the 6th, looking forward to it. We love small groups. They're a really vital part of our church life. So, yeah, August the 6th.
Yeah, absolutely. And take the opportunity, if you're not in one, please sign up for one. They're a great chance to get to know each other and support each other.
Yeah.
We have a fantastic compassion ministry called Love Falkirk, and the pantry is actually open on Wednesday morning this week. That's also had a bit of a break, but they are back this week on Wednesday, so that is really exciting news, isn't it?
It is. We also have a fantastic kids ministry, and we have all our kids' videos online 9 o'clock every Sunday morning. If you want to go and check out any videos from before, because there's loads and people do some good stuff, some really funny stuff on there, go to falkirkvineyard.com/kids and you can catch up on previous weeks there.
Yep, They are good fun, aren't they?
Yeah.
So this morning we are really honoured because we have a special guest who's going to be speaking to us, and his name is Jay Pathak, and he's the senior pastor of Mile High Vineyard in Denver, Colorado. But this week he is speaking to us here in Falkirk Vineyard.
Cool.
So we are really super excited about this. So let's hand over to Jay.
Hello, Vineyards in the UK. I'm coming to you from Denver, Colorado. This is Jay Pathak, pastor of the Mile High Vineyard out here in Denver. And I am honored to come to you in this crazy way on video in the midst of COVID. I think we've all become pretty used to this way of relating, but man, what a wild time. I mean, man, 1 year ago, if someone told you what your day-to-day life is like right now, would you believe them? Would you think it was some kind of weird sci-fi movie? I mean, it's crazy. And most of us find ourselves scrambling to figure out how we're going to work and how we're going to raise our kids, how we're going to go to the grocery store, for example, and or just manage being cooped up with our own families. We've learned a lot about our own families in this time, haven't we? But it's also a time that we're rediscovering our faith. So many of us are realizing, like, gosh, I didn't have the faith I thought I had. I thought I had a really secure life with God, but man, I'm not doing that well. I'm not who I thought I was. And some of us really realize how much of our faith was dependent upon being in environments with our church families, right? Like, being in an environment of worship, being in an environment where you're praying and ministering to one another. And I'm not sure that's necessarily a bad thing, but it's kind of a crisis of sorts to realize, wait a minute, I don't know how to do this stuff on my own. And more than that, how do I think about this time with the Lord? Is this some kind of horrible moment where God has forgotten us? Or is there some kind of opportunity that I'm supposed to be taking a hold of? And that's really what I want to share with you briefly, is there a kingdom opportunity? And what I want to ask us to consider is that this opportunity we're in right now with COVID and frankly, a re-examination of many things in our nation. Every major city has protests and riots in relationship to the murder of George Floyd. And we're all having to reconsider the life that we've lived and what we've taken for granted, and had to look at some of the ugly pieces of our own culture, our own heart. And in this time, I do think we have some opportunities. And the first is an opportunity to not do something. That is, God's people were challenged in the scriptures to avoid things that other people move towards readily and naturally. I've thought over and over in this time about the early church. And my heart and my mind keep being drawn back to this passage in 1 Peter chapter 3. Let me read it for you. 1 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 13, Peter writes this: "Who is going to harm you if you're eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats, do not be frightened, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit." Peter's call is super simple here. And he quotes from Isaiah And he says, do not fear what they fear. Other translations, quoting, of course, he's quoting from Isaiah chapter 8. Other translations would say, do not call conspiracy what they call conspiracy. Have you heard a few conspiracies going around these days? I have. And Peter says, listen, because you're a follower of Jesus, you're not going to be afraid of what they're afraid of. You're not going to call conspiracy what they call conspiracy. Because you worship Jesus. The opportunity, the moment to look different, says, do not be afraid. Do not do what everyone else is doing. And Peter's logic is really simple here. He says, by just not being afraid, what's going to happen is people are going to look at you and go, why aren't you afraid? Why are you so different? Why is it that everyone else is afraid and you're not? And you'll be able to say, because I hope in Jesus. I have a life with Jesus. And in that moment, people will be drawn towards the life that's offered in Jesus. His assumption is that you'll be different and that your hope will shine out. It's an assumption. But let's be honest. As we're looking at the way so many people are responding who are believers, who represent the Church of Jesus Christ, the terrible news is so many aren't offering hope, don't look more peaceful. Frankly, some that are in the church are making it worse, are making it crazier. And just in case you think about the Bible as some faraway place in some faraway time, you have to remember what is going on when Peter's writing this. He's writing to a disempowered church. People that have no power, they have no authority. They look like some kind of upstart cult. The power of Rome is pulling them into Colosseums to be torn apart by animals, to be killed by gladiators. In this time, most commentators would argue that Christians are being lit on fire in the garden parties of Nero. They're being used as human torches. There is a lot to be afraid of. In this time, the majority of the people you're reading about in the Bible are people of color. Early church fathers are from North Africa and the Middle East. Many of the people you're reading about in the Bible are Middle Eastern. Many of the people aren't white, and so many of the dynamics of what's going on today with racism and systemic injustice were very much in play in this time in Rome. Frankly, what Peter's dealing with is a disempowered church that's really afraid, that's being chased down by the government. They have no economic force, they have no economic power, and in the midst of all of this, he says really simply, don't be afraid. Do not fear what they fear. And what is it that makes it so they cannot fear, that they manage this fear? Peter says it really clearly. Revere Christ as Lord. Set apart Christ as Lord. Sometimes this is translated, and it actually being derived right from Isaiah 8, do not fear what they fear, but instead fear the Lord. Put your trust and your heart in Him. Not in what everyone else is afraid of. See, to quote from a pastor, Mark Serres, he's in Australia, he's been saying a little phrase I've been thinking about a lot in this time where he often says, we're living in a culture right now that wants the kingdom without the king. We want all racial inequity to be dealt with. We want all poverty to be dealt with. We want sickness to be dealt with. I mean, imagine if I could wave my hand right now and I could say, in this moment, all racial inequity will be dealt with. There'll be no racism that exists anywhere in our culture. Women will be lifted up. Children will be cared for. The poor will be secured. Healthcare will be available to everyone. Heck, not just healthcare. There'll be no sickness. There'll be no death. There'll be no wars. There'll be no corruption. All you gotta do is wave my hand. All that's gonna happen. You'd be like, that'd be incredible. Except for there's one catch. The one catch is this. You won't have Jesus. You'll have the kingdom, but no king. And sadly, I think many people are pressing and trying to build the kingdom of God on earth without necessarily seeking the king. Listen, here's what I want to say to you. There is no kingdom without the king. There is no kingdom without the king. Where will we get the power to do this great work? Where will we find the inspiration to do this work? Listen, there's been people for a long time, hundreds of years, thousands of years, that have tried to bring about the goodness, the righteousness, the hope of the kingdom from other power sources, from other philosophies. And all you have to do is look around a little bit and realize this doesn't get it done. It slides into some kind of totalitarian corruption one way or another, whether it's political or spiritual. But listen, we are the Church of Jesus Christ. And the call of Peter to the early church under Roman oppression, under horrible circumstances and pain and fear is worship the King. UK Vineyard. Worship the King. Set apart Christ as Lord. So the first opportunity is to not do what everyone else is doing. Do not be afraid. Do not look like everyone else. And I got to tell you, as a pastor, and maybe it's different in the UK, but in the US, I've been genuinely discouraged. I'm aware that most of the believers that I'm around are more formed by the news than they are by the scriptures. Their affections are pulled around by a 24-hour news cycle that's talking about the horrific realities of racism, the horrific realities of what COVID is doing to our economies and to our government and to our cities. And they're being formed by this fear. And then I get like, what, my 20 minutes to preach a message. They're not even being informed necessarily by the scriptures. They're being informed and formed and quite literally discipled by the news and by fear and by trauma and pain and misery of what's happening in our world. And then they're trying to kind of press Jesus around the edges of that. Listen to me. As the people of God, fear Christ, seek Christ, revere him. Worship him, adore him, fall in love with him. He is more beautiful than you could ever imagine. And when the scriptures say to fear God, what it's really saying is recognize his power, recognize his authority. Let that dictate reality to you. The God who made the universe, the God who by his outstretched arm rescued his people from Egypt, the God who came for us in Jesus Christ, who was willing to suffer and die, though he had power to do whatever he wanted. He raised the dead. He opened the eyes of the blind, and he chose to lay down his life for you and me, to pay a price that we could not pay, and to prove that this death was real and for us. He rose again from the dead and now sits at the right hand of the Father, and one day will come back to judge the living and the dead. He will make all things new again. His kingdom will be brought to bear fully. But now, we're in this moment, in between, where we stand as people who are recipients of this kingdom in our hearts, in our lives, by the presence and power of his Spirit. And yet, his kingdom has not been fully to bear. Listen, we cannot bring the power and the presence of the kingdom without worshiping or adoring and obeying this King, Jesus. How are your own rhythms going in this sense? Are you finding God in the scriptures? Are you finding him in worship? Jesus says in John 15, "Remain in me and I'll remain in you, and you will bear much fruit, showing yourselves to me, my disciples. Remain in my love, and my love will be in you." Listen, in this time where everything's stripped away, there is an opportunity for us to look different than the rest of the world and also worship and find a new place of depth in the presence and the power of Jesus Christ. This is a moment that the church could be strengthened and awakened to the power and the presence of God. May God fill you with his Spirit. May he send us to be his people. And in my experience with those who don't have any life with Jesus, as they're going, is there anything to hope in? And I'm amazed at how many people I've been sharing my faith with for weeks and months and years that are suddenly coming back toward me and going, remind me again about this thing with Jesus. I mean, I've been amazed to see how Alpha's doing online within our church and around the world. And I've been amazed to see how many folks are joining us online in moments because they need hope. You have hope as a follower of Jesus. And if you're someone that doesn't follow Jesus, this would be the perfect time to say yes to him, to find the hope that cannot be taken from you. May God bless you. Thank you for letting me share this time with you. May the Lord be with you. May he bless you and keep you, make his face to shine upon you. For he is Lord, and he will make all things new again.
Thanks, Jay, for taking the time to talk to us this morning. I think that truly was a word in season. We use that phrase like a cliche so often, but I really appreciate Jay taking the time to talk to us about the circumstances and times that we live in right now. You know, when incidents such as the George Floyd killing in the USA hit the news in such a big way that we're all impacted by it, as a church leader, I feel pressure at times that I should be making a statement about these things or declaring where our church stands on certain issues. Often I'm reluctant to do that, certainly to do it initially, because I don't want to do that as a knee-jerk reaction or because of outside pressure. But I've taken a lot of time over these past weeks now since that incident to really consider what God is saying to me and what God expects from us as a church and as a society with regards to racism and other prejudice. At the beginning of this year, as a church, we were praying for revival to come. And we read regularly from a verse in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And this verse shows us that if we want to see real change in our world, real change in our society, if we want to see God move, if we want to see the Holy Spirit come in such a powerful way, that not only do we see the mass conversion of men and women, but we would also see an eradication of prejudice, racism and inequality. Let me just read that verse again in that context. 2 Chronicles 7 verse 14, and it says this: "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins and restore their land." As I consider many issues that are surrounding us in our world today, I believe that we need God's healing. We need God to heal our land. So I want to just take 5 minutes just to look at what the Bible says about division and prejudice and inequality. And I'm going to look just at a couple of verses in the book of Galatians. In chapter 3, and in these passages, Paul is writing about the family of God. And in particular, he's correcting the issue of division between Jewish Christians and those who are coming to faith from other nations, known as Gentiles. So this as an issue of race. And Paul writes this in verse 26 of Galatians 3. He says, "You are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ like putting on new clothes." What Paul's saying here is that in God's family, there are to be no divisions based on your nationality, your background, or your skin colour. But he also goes further, naming some of the other divisions which the Galatian church may not have fully grasped. So in verse 28, he goes on to say, "There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." Just like I'm trying to do just now, Paul was speaking into some of the divisions within the society of that time. And where in that culture he paired up words where one group of people were privileged over another. So for example, he talks about Jew over Gentile. You know, the Jewish people and the non-Jewish people were divided, with the Jews believing themselves to be superior to the Gentiles. He mentions about slaves over free. He said those who are maybe in a higher social economic status were in positions of power, and they were divided from those who were in servitude. But they also believed, because they were free, that they were superior to those who were enslaved. And he talks about male and female. And again, in that culture, the sexes were divided, with males believing themselves to be superior to females. But Paul is saying that Jesus came to change all that. All of these issues were deeply ingrained in the culture, systematically reinforced in structures throughout society, just as they are today. But Paul says, no, that is not the way that God wants it to be. You're all children of God. You're all one in Christ Jesus. No one is of greater value than anyone else. No one is superior to anyone else. And in this short sentence, he confronts the three isms of racism, elitism, and sexism. Because in God's eyes, all are equal. And as the world aligns to God's design, and as individuals are embraced into God's family, everyone is included with equal status. But even though we are equal in God's eyes, we do not lose our identity or our distinctiveness when we become one in Jesus. Diversity continues. Remember that God is a creative God. He made the same thing in various versions, in various colours and various types. Diversity continues. And in this passage, when the people were coming to faith, if they were Jewish, they would remain Jews. If they were Gentiles, they remained Gentiles. Male were still male, female, female, and so on and so on. But the dividing walls of hostility and inequality between them are eradicated. In the last book of the Bible, Revelation, the Apostle John saw a vision of what heaven is going to be like. This is the culmination of history, where everything is restored to how God intended it to be. And it says this in Revelation 7, verse 9. And John says this, "After this I saw a vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation and tribe and people and language, standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb." I love this. I just love this. This is the church, with all its colour and diversity, reflecting God's abundant creativity for the whole of eternity. And Paul wrote in his letters to the Corinthians that we, the followers of Jesus, are one body made up of many parts, and all parts are of equal value. And when one part of the body hurts, the whole body hurts. You know, as I consider that there are people that I know that may suffer from prejudice against them, and inequality, and a sense of feeling inferior because of their nationality or the colour of their skin, that breaks my heart, because that is not what God intended. God intends us to be equal in our diversity. And as I have prayed and pondered over this issue of racial inequality, I've realised that there is a white bias within our society. And if there's a white bias in our society, it is also likely to be present within our church, just as there was a bias in the Galatian church that we read about. And as painful as it has been to realise that, I have come to understand that that bias, that prejudice, is present within my own heart. As a white man living in Falkirk, I have not experienced racism towards me. I benefit from the fact that 98.1% of the population of the Falkirk Council area are white and mainly Scottish. And as a church, we can easily be satisfied that the ethnicity of our church reflects the ethnicity of our community. But when we have 98% of our community white, it's not difficult to reflect that in our church. And it can be easy to conclude that we're okay, we don't have any issues. But I've begun the journey of examining my own heart, reflecting, repenting, and looking at what I need to do to change. We might not see racism on a large scale because we are not a particularly racially diverse society. But that doesn't mean it's not there. And it may actually be lurking just under the surface. And we know that Scotland, as much as we love our country, we are a nation that is blighted by division. Religious bigotry is a shame and a stain on our nation. And by the way, that has got nothing to do with God. We are divided between nationalists and unionists. And these two issues alone permeate our societies to such a degree that our government has created laws around them. So, for example, in 2011, the Scottish Parliament passed a law which was called the Offensive Behaviour at Football and Threatening the Communications Bill. And the reason that this bill and this law was put into legislation was because of the prevalence of religious bigotry in our society. So while we might think we're a fair and free country, we have form on prejudice, and we have form on separation and form for division. And I'm aware that as I speak on these subjects, that I might unintentionally say things which would offend someone. And I will probably, as I explore this further, say things clumsily or even show my naivety. Because I am not someone speaking who knows the answers to all the challenges that we face. So please hear me that I simply want to open up a subject which needs to be talked about. And please forgive me if I don't say everything as you might hope. I believe that the church has to stand against all prejudice, including and particularly racism. But that isn't achieved by me as the lead pastor just making a declaration that Falkirk Vineyard abhors all forms of prejudice, bigotry, racism and discrimination. And of course we do abhor those things. But if we are going to be truly honest with ourselves, we have to accept that we are all prejudiced in one way or another, whether we realise it or not. And to accomplish real change, and to eliminate division as God has commanded us, each of us must examine our own hearts. So I close with this. Psalm 139, and it says this: "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life." The Bible is clear that there should be absolutely no racism, elitism, sexism, or any other destructive ism that opposes God's beautiful design for humanity. And as we look forward to one day joining in worship with others from every nation, tribe, people, and language, let's commit to doing all that we can to seeing that expressed in our generation, in our nation, in our church, and in our personal lives. So my encouragement to you today is this, is to search your own heart and ask God to reveal anything that's even hidden, anything that you're even unaware of that offends him, that he may lead you into paths of righteousness. I want us to be a church where anyone can come into our community and feel part of it and be welcomed. You know, the Word of God tells us that God's will is that all should be saved. There's no buts, there's no types around that invitation. It's for everyone. So let's search our hearts and let God do a change in you and a change in me. And then together, let's express what the kingdom of God really looks like, with every tribe, nation and tongue worshipping together, serving and loving the same amazing God. Why don't we take some time just to pray? Let's just ask God to come. And just where you are now, why don't you just put your hands out? You know we do this all the time. We put our hands out. And this is just that it's to express two things. One, that we are opening ourselves up. This is a demonstration of openness, of vulnerability. But also, it's a posture of receiving. So I'm just going to ask the Holy Spirit to come. So Father, would you let your Spirit come right now? Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come. God, would you show us how to truly evaluate ourselves? As it says in your word in Romans 12, that we should evaluate ourselves, examine ourselves honestly, and not think that we're better than we are. Father, I bring before you those today who are hurt, who have been damaged by prejudice. People, Lord, who have been mocked, belittled, ridiculed, overlooked because of the colour of their skin. And Father, if I have ever been a part of any of those things, knowingly or unknowingly, I plead for your forgiveness and ask that you would search my heart and reveal anything that offends you. As we wait on God, as we sit in his presence, the Holy Spirit might be revealing some things to you right now. And remember that God doesn't do this to condemn us or to punish us or to guilt us into submission. His plans for us are good. So if you need to repent, if you need to apologize to God for what's been in your heart, for things you've done, then just do it now where you are and receive his forgiveness. Father, I pray for your church. Would you give us wisdom? Would you show us, Lord, what you think and what you feel about these issues, Lord, particularly regarding race. And Father, if we have inherited prejudice, or Lord, we have participated in prejudice, knowingly or unknowingly, I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, you would forgive us and you would change our hearts and take us forward from this point onward to be better and to do good in your name. Thank you, Father, for diversity. Thank you for colour. Thank you for difference. Thank you for your creative expression in humanity. Lord, let us not fear it. Let us not choose to decide that our difference is superior to someone else's. But Lord, let us enjoy and be thankful for the diversity of your creation. Bless you, Father. Pour your love out upon us. I pray, Lord, you would heal division. I ask, Lord, that you would restore wholeness, Lord, where there's brokenness. And where there's hurt and pain, would you restore it, Lord, to joy. We are one people under one God. We worship only you. We love you, Lord. Help us to love our neighbour as ourselves and to be true expressions and ambassadors of Jesus. Amen.
When I survey I can't. And Lord, we give you everything because that's what your love demands. As your church this morning, we just say thank you. Thank you for the work of the cross. Thank you for sending your son. Thank you for choosing me. Thank you for choosing us, Lord. Thank you for making us part of your family. We say thank you, Lord. Amen.
Whoever you are, we want you to know that there is hope for change, transformation, and new life in Jesus Christ.
When we look around at the world, we see so much pain, fear, and conflict. But Jesus entered into this world and announced that we could begin a new life in God's kingdom.
God promised humanity that although we had turned away from him, he would rescue us and make us whole again. And God kept that promise through his son, Jesus. Jesus took the full force of humanity's sin and evil when he died on the cross at the hands of people who did not want to believe that he was the Son of God.
But Jesus didn't stay dead. He rose again to life, which proved that he was the Son of God, and not even death could defeat him. He ascended to heaven and is now the king whose kingdom is open to all who believe in him and who want to live in relationship with him.
And today, Jesus the King is asking you which kind of world you want to live in. Are you just resigned to the world the way that it is, to your life the way that it is? Or do you want to find salvation in him and become a citizen of his kingdom? You can experience salvation through Jesus by laying down your own way of life and trusting that he will make you a new person, forgiving your past and your sin, and giving you the kind of life now that will last forever.
Now, if you would like to do that, please press the button in the chat that says, "I commit my life to Jesus." Now, when you do that, another button will appear that asks if you want prayer. Click on that. And we would love to pray and chat with you about the new life that Jesus gives.
You can also click the live prayer button if you'd like prayer for anything, and we'd be glad to pray with you. Jesus announced that the kingdom of God was here, and that meant that we could experience the power of God at work in us, healing us and changing us and saving us. So if you'd like prayer, that's available to you. Other than that, that's all for today, folks. Remember, no small groups this week, but you can sign up for a group if you aren't already part of one, just in time for them restarting on Thursday, the 6th of August. So to do that, please visit falkirkvineyard.com/small groups.
But that's all from us. Have a great week, and we will see you soon.
Bye.